We're continuing our series today. We've called it Man of Miracles. And I think the miracle that we're looking at today is probably the most emotional miracle of all the ones that we've seen before. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to John chapter 11. That's where we're going to be today. And in John chapter 11, John, who, by the way, John, the son of Zebedee, he's writing, and he is giving us some insight into these miracles. And what have we seen so far? We've seen miracle after miracle, time and time again. Jesus is drawn to hurting people. It's like he's just got this magnet to people who are desperate and who are in need. But today, the miracle that we're going to look at, it's probably the most emotional because it hits so close to home, at least for Jesus personally. And so John begins to write, chapter 11, verse 1, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha." Lazarus is the brother of Mary and Martha. This is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is Mary, the very good friend of Jesus, close friend. And you have Mary and Martha. And I have to think that at this point, John doesn't give us a lot of details, but I have to think that they're feeling pretty good about the situation. At least at this point. I mean, yes, on one hand, their brother is not just ill, he is deathly ill. But on the other hand, they know Jesus. Jesus is a close personal friend of theirs, and they've seen him, well, let's just recount a few of them. John tells us, "I didn't put them all in my book, but here's just some of that he did. He turned water to wine. He healed a nobleman's son from 15 or so miles away. He healed a paralytic. He fed 5,000 people. He walked on water." That happened. And then last week, what did we see? We saw that he healed a man who was blind from birth. And so they have to be feeling pretty good about their chances. I mean, this is not good. Lazarus is deathly ill, but they know Jesus. And so they reach out to him. They send a message to him. "Lord, the one you love is sick." I think this is so interesting because it's not even a request. I think had I been Mary and Martha, I would have made a request of Jesus. I would have said, "Come heal him." You know what? On second thought, "Jesus, we know what you can do. You don't even have to come. You can just say the word and it's done. Like, we've seen it, we believe it." But instead of making a request, they just say, "Lord, the one that you love is sick." It's almost as if the way that John is writing this, he's showing us that we don't always have to come in prayer and seek God for a specific answer or a specific outcome. But sometimes it's enough. And instead of articulating the answer that we want, it's enough to just let Jesus know what the problem is, and that's exactly what they do. "Lord, the one that you love is sick." Here's Jesus' response. "When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Lazarus is sick, Mary and Martha are praying, and now Jesus is delaying. I mean, it makes no sense. He is intentionally delaying. And I'm so glad that John includes this particular miracle because this is where a lot of us live. It's not that we don't believe. We've seen God work in our lives. We've seen God work in other people's lives. We believe, but what do we do when we pray and Jesus delays? I have a good friend who loves the quote, "God is always on time and rarely early." I want to encourage your heart this morning. If that's where you are, here's the first truth we see in this text. Jesus' timing is always perfect. How many of you are like, you're early for everything, okay? I mean, I don't expect a lot of you in the 11:30 service, but I thought I would try anyway. So you're like, early... Early is on time, right? Okay. Now, how many of you, let's find a nice way to say this. How many of you are always fashionably late? Any show of hands? Okay, I think there might be more of you. Yeah. How many of you married the other person? I'm feeling the judgment from here. I don't know. Here's why I tell you that, because this text that we're reading, this miracle, if you're one of those always early people, just a warning, this story might trigger you, because Martha, especially in this text, Martha, by her watch, Jesus is late, and she lets him know it. Look at this. John writes, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Have you ever felt that? God, if you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. You could have just said the word and it would have changed everything, and for whatever reason you didn't. God, are you not willing? Are you not able? These questions had to be coming up for Mary and Martha and all the people who were surrounding them, and these questions come up for us as well. But I want you to see Jesus' response. He tells them this. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Jesus is telling them, I am the one who will give you life before death. In the chapter before this, John 10, verse 10, he says, I've come that you might have life and that you would have it to the full, that you would have it abundantly. I have come that you would have life. I'm the one who gives you life before death, and I am the one who's going to give you life after death. I am the resurrection and the life. Well, Jesus is speaking to a group of people who are heartbroken. But if that's where you are today, I want you to see that he's just as heartbroken as they are. The text continues, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Talk about adding insult to injury. Jesus knows what they are saying. He knows what they're thinking. And they're wondering, if he could do this for the blind man, why didn't he come through this time? And it's amazing to me. Look, just notice the way Jesus approaches them. He did not chastise them. Instead, what did he do? He wept with them. He didn't give them a lecture. He didn't say, who do you think you are? He didn't even say, do you know who I am? Instead, he stayed right in it with them. He wept with them, and he calmly reassured them, I am the resurrection and the life. The second thing that we see in this text is that there's no problem that's beyond his power. No problem is beyond his power. Lazarus is not just sick. He is dead. He is dead, dead. He is 4 days dead. But what John is telling us is that death doesn't get the final word. Everybody thought death always had the final word. That's how you knew the story was done. It was over, yet it's never over because Jesus has the final word. And so Jesus comes back and he responds. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. Take away the stone, he said. Now, I don't know what they thought he was doing. I don't know if they thought he didn't believe them and he wanted to see for himself. I don't know what's really going on in their minds, but he says, remove the stone. And I think I would have been a little bit like Martha. Martha was the one that hesitated. She said, but Lord, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Some of you can relate because you look at your situation right now and it stinks. Like a rotting corpse, it stinks. You see, they, in their mind, they just thought this was a problem beyond the power of Jesus. And in their mind, they didn't expect him to be able to do anything. Yes, they had seen what he, they'd seen the miracles. They had seen what he could do, but they just assumed this was beyond him. And sometimes we think this is, it's too far gone. This relationship is beyond saving. This situation, it's beyond the power of Jesus. And Jesus responds like this. He said, did I not tell you that if you believe, that you will see the glory of God? And that's when it happens. Verse 43, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out. Can you imagine? I would love to see the look on their faces when he just walks out. Talk about jaw on the ground. But Jesus never did a miracle just to impress people. He did this to impress upon them the reality of who he was and who he is. And now we begin to see that Jesus' timing is always perfect because he had intentionally delayed just for this moment. This was for everyone's benefit. And now they can see him for who he really is. Jesus speaks. He doesn't have to. Jesus raises his voice, but he certainly didn't have to do that either. He raised his voice for the benefit of everyone else around, because this is more than just a physical life being raised. This is about spiritual life being raised up in everyone around, faith being strengthened. He wasn't just looking to put his power on display. He was putting his presence on display. He was putting the glory of God on display. And then if that's not enough, Jesus does something that is so beautiful. Look at this. John records this. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. By whose power does this miracle take place? It's okay if you talk back. God's power. This is God's power. But who gets to participate in the miracle? He says, take off the grave clothes. Unwrap him. He allows the community to come around Lazarus. And Jesus performs the miracle. But he says, come around, come close. Doesn't Jesus do this in our lives? We see miracles, spiritual life rising up. We see this in each other, and we get a front row seat, and it strengthens our faith. We get to walk in community together. Life isn't meant to be lived alone. We say that a lot around here, and it's true, because a community comes around and Jesus says, I don't want you to just witness a miracle. I don't want you to just experience it. I want you to participate and be a part of it. That's what we get to do in each other's lives. And Jesus is so good in that way. This brings us to our third and final thing we see in this text. Worship and faith invite miracles. I'm so glad that John included Mary and Martha, and we get to see a glimpse through them. They are weeping. They are hurting. They're bringing their honesty. They are worshiping where they are. But here's the thing. Martha, she heads out the door. She tells Jesus what she really thinks. Mary, she waits back in the home. She's quieter about it. We don't know all the details. We don't know why she held back. Maybe she held back because she was so full of faith. Maybe she held back because she was really disappointed in Jesus and she didn't want him to know it. Whatever it may be, we've experienced all of that, haven't we? But instead of running away from Jesus, they run toward him and they lean into their faith and they witness a miracle. I want you to take that index card that you were given when you came in, and I think we'll have some being passed out if you didn't get one. Because I want to encourage you to write something on here. Really, here's the question that we want to ask. What in my life feels dead? And what needs resurrection? What is it in your life that feels like, well, I can't write that down? And maybe that I can't write that down is because, let's just be honest, you think Jesus is late? I mean, really, I could write it down, but if Jesus were going to do something about this, wouldn't he have already done it? I've been disappointed too many times. That's exactly what you need to write, whatever that is. And maybe it's that whatever it is, you're believing it's beyond his power. Like it's just too far gone. This relationship, I could write it down, but I mean, there's just too much damage that's been done. It's impossible. It's 4 days dead. What's the point? That's exactly what I want to encourage you to write down. No one's going to see these. This is just between you and God. I want to encourage you in the next few minutes, when you're ready, write it down. We've got two buckets right up here in the front, and we've also got two there in the back. We've carved out plenty of time for this, to spend time with Jesus. I mean, where better place to bring it than at the foot of the cross, symbolically? Who better to bring it to than Jesus himself? Because Jesus is still bringing dead things to life. What's spiritually dead in you that you want him to breathe life into it again? Let's take some time and let's worship. And let's lean into our faith and invite a miracle. I want to invite you, just a moment, if you will be seated. Because we do have one more really important moment, and that is to give everyone here the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. I love in the story, I love the way that John writes it, because Jesus and the disciples, as they're headed to Bethany, they don't know what's happened, but Jesus does. And Jesus tells them, Lazarus has fallen asleep. And sometimes the disciples, they don't quite understand what he's saying. And they say, well, that's great. Maybe you'll sleep it off. And Jesus says, no, Lazarus is dead. And I wonder if John put that in there for us to understand that in our sin, apart from Jesus, we are not sick. We are dead in our sin. Scripture tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it also tells us that the wages of sin are death. In other words, it applies to us all. But Jesus, and in his resurrection, first fruits of things to come, so that one day you and I could be resurrected to new life as well. Life before death, life after death. If you've never made that decision, we want to give you that opportunity right now. We're going to pray together. And then if you've made that decision today for the first time, or the first time in a long time, I want to encourage you to be bold and courageous. Stand right where you are. We want to cheer you on. Let's pray together. Jesus, I am not perfect, for I have sinned. But I believe in you. Save me. Change me. Forgive me. I give you my life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.